Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Nama Om Vishnu Vadaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale. Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyade Shatarine. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivas Adi Gaura Bhaktivrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakalpaturubhyascha, Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo, Namo Namaha. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Yes, so, we read actually, didn't we, on Tuesday evening, how when Mother Sachi saw Nimai's first really clear signs of maturity, then she began to think about and make plans, at least to think deeply about. Not exactly planning like planning an event, but just considering the importance of his getting married and desiring that, and considering what young lady might be most suitable for him, because Lord Chaitanya was, well, of course, every son of every mother is very special to her heart, and Nimai, being such an exceptional young fellow, oh, he was just. Well, he was actually in a class of his own. So not only was he dear to her because of being her son, and, well, there are other considerations too. She's her son. Now, effectively, he is her only son. And now, Jagannath Mishra has just passed away. So it's just the two of them left. There were four. There were four. But Vishwarup left home. And not long after that, Jagannath Mishra passed away. So it's only the two of them. So Mother Sachi was thinking in those terms. So, in Navadweep, there was a Vaishnav community. We've read and we've described how there were many non-Vaishnavs in Navadweep. There were many demigod worshippers. There were many there were many just speculative philosophers. There were so many of that sort, like false intellectuals, materialistic intellectuals, who thought that Krishna consciousness is just not to be taken seriously, and who ridiculed the devotees, actually, and really gave them a hard time. So, but anyway, there was a Vaishnav community, and in that community, there was one Vaishnav, very nice, pious, knowledgeable, and kind-hearted devotee named Vallabhacharya. If you know the histories a little bit of Lord Chaitanya, you'll know there were a number of Vallabhacharyas, actually. But this was one Vallabhacharya who lived in Navadvip with his family, and he was very Paka Brahmin, and yes, just really of the highest character. And his family was like that also. And he had a very beautiful young daughter. Young means probably we'd say like around teenage. Young daughter who was as beautiful as Lakshmi Devi, and whose name happened to be Lakshmi Devi, or Lakshmi Priya at least. Yes. So, and who happened to be Lakshmi Devi, actually, the consort of the Lord, Lakshmi Devi from Vaikuntha. So, yes, she was the personification of Lakshmi Devi in terms of qualities, character. And just as Mother Sachi was concerned about finding a really suitable young lady to become the wife of her beloved son Nimai, and extremely exceptional, practically uniquely exceptional son Nimai. So Vallabhacharya was also thinking how to find the very best possible candidate to become the husband of his daughter Lakshmi. She's referred to in Chaitanya Bhagavat sometimes as Lakshmi, sometimes as Lakshmi Priya. Yes, so Vallabhacharya was concerned like that because she was also very exceptional. Not simply because she was his daughter and there's that natural and very deep bond between the father and the daughter, but because she was exceptionally qualified, and you don't want, no parent would want their daughter to get married to some just, you know what I mean, some unqualified, shall we say, young man, as somehow happened in the case of Abhimanyu, who became the husband of Srimati Radharani. The parents of Radharani, they would never have wanted that she marry someone like Abhimanyu, who was, you know, just, anyway, let's not get into it too much, become too colorful about it, but he was just not qualified in terms of intellect, in terms of qualities of character, of personality, in terms of interests in life, and all these things which are very important to be there, for compatibility to be there, to avoid strife and in the future possibly so many serious problems between husband and wife. So, Vallabhacharya would, every day, he would send Lakshmi down to the Ganges to take bath. Well, I mean, all the ladies would go down to take bath. So that was their family practice. Of course, in the ladies would bathe in the ladies' area and the men in the men's area. But on the way, one day, one fateful day, on the way to the Ganges, Lakshmi Devi's path crossed the path of Lord Chaitanya of Nimai. And so they didn't say anything, but they just passed right nearby. And as they passed by each other, Lord Gaurachandra, recognizing his eternal consort, he smiled. And which is kind of unusual, really, in those days, in the sort of social environment. But he smiled, recognizing his beloved Lakshmi, actual Lakshmi from Vaikuntha. And Lakshmi mentally offered her obeisances to Gaurachandra at the same time. So, in other words, they both recognized each other from the spiritual world. They recognized each other. And then, so then after that, after taking bath, they both returned to their homes. And that very day, by the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, a Brahmin named Vanamali came by the house of Mother Sachi and Nima. And this Vanamali, he's a Brahmin, as we mentioned, and again, he's very pious and qualified Brahmin, knowledgeable, very sincere and deep-hearted, and his occupation was devotees, would you believe? He was a professional matchmaker. This is what he did. He went around here and there, around Navadvip, observing the young men and the young ladies, and finding out who are the parents and, you know, what's the nature of the family and all these types of personal things. And then he would come by, generally he would come by first the house of the young man who he had spotted and who he felt, I mean, not just felt was a good candidate, but he had done his research and he knew he was a good candidate. So on that very day, Lord Chaitanya Nimai had not yet returned from the Ganges. He was on his way. But Vanamali called in and there was Mother Sachi. And so Mother Sachi, Vanamali offered Mother Sachi his obeisances. Mother Sachi offered him a seat. And then Vanamali Acharya Vanamali Acharya. He asked Mother Sachi, haven't you started thinking about arranging your son's marriage? And Mother Sachi, she replied that my son has just become fatherless. And I think, you know, he's studying very hard at the school of Gangadas Pandit. I think just leave him for some time. And after a while, I will contact you. Don't call me, I will call you. In other words, yeah, just leave us. So Chaitanya Bhagavat gives an interesting description. He says, Vrindavan Das Thakur says that the Brahman, Vanamali Acharya, was not satisfied with Mother Sachi's answer and therefore left disappointed. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta gives just a fairly short purport. Let me read it. Because the Bengali, which has been translated, the Bengali term for not satisfied, is that he did not get any rasa. This is the term which is used. He came away, Vanamali Acharya, after making his inquiry, he came away, he left the house feeling a lack of rasa, of mellow, of a sort of deeper, richer mood. And let me just read it then. Mother Sachi neglected or ignored the proposal for Nimai's marriage suggested by the best of the matchmakers, Vanamali Acharya. And Mother Sachi changed the topic of conversation. Therefore, Vanamali did not get any rasa from Sachi's words. Rather, he perceived an absence of rasa, or dry shanta rasa. That is, he perceived an indifferent, unchangeable mood. That is why in ordinary Alankara literature, Alankara means about the different grammatical devices, or not, and about the different transcendental ornaments of transcendental relationship. So, that is why in ordinary literature about these things, dry shanta rasa is not actually accepted as rasa, because it is devoid of the reciprocation of feelings. Due to the unchanging nature of shanta rasa, neutral rasa, learned persons do not accept it as a rasa. It's an interesting little point in that in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the earlier parts, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami makes the point that shanta rasa, that really speaking, or not maybe really speaking, but definitely many great devotees consider that there are only four rasas. Of course, we accept also the fifth rasa, shanta rasa, as a rasa, and classically that's the case. But this point is made in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that shanta rasa is not exactly rasa in the same sense as the other four, because there's a lack of relationship. So, back to the narration. As he left, by providence he met Gaurachandra, he met Nimai, who happily embraced him. The Lord inquired. The Lord, of course, knows who is Vanamali Achari. Everyone knows, particularly all the young men and young ladies. They all know. So the Lord inquired, tell me, where have you been? And Vanamali replied, I was speaking with your mother. I offered her a proposal for your marriage, but for some reason I don't understand, she refused. So, hearing his words, Nimai became silent momentarily. Just briefly, he became silent. And then smiled and spoke to Vanamali a little further and didn't say anything about that sort of matter, and then returned to his home. So when he arrived at home, he spoke with Mother Sachi and said, why did you not respect the Brahmin's proposal? Yes. And that's all he said. And Mother Sachi understood, oh, this is what he's talking about. This is an indication from him. So the next day, she called Vanamali Acharya, please come and visit me again. So Vanamali Acharya came in, took the dust from the lotus feet of Mother Sachi, and Mother Sachi said, O Brahman, I've decided that you may immediately arrange that which you proposed yesterday. So Vanamali was very happy. Immediately he left for the house of Vallabhacharya, because like we said, he knew all the qualified young people, who were their parents and who might be suitable for who. That was his sort of, his way of life. So he was always conscious in those terms, so he knew that this is the right young man for Lakshmi. So when Vanamali arrived, Vallabhacharya offered him a seat very respectfully, and Vanamali said, this is pretty direct, please hear me, choose an auspicious day for the marriage of your daughter. That's a direct approach. The son of Jagannath Mishra, Sri Vishvambar, is highly learned and an ocean of good qualities. This great personality is the proper match for your daughter. Now you decide what you would like to do. So Vallabhacharya became ecstatic and said, yes, you're right. He is exactly the right young man for my daughter. Yes. So if Krishna is pleased with me, and Lakshmi Devi and Parvati Devi are pleased with my daughter, then I'll be blessed with such a husband for my daughter. You may arrange everything without delay. But then an interesting point arises. It's not emphasized or stressed or like that, but it's just interesting, listen to this, because, you know, the tradition is that the bride's father, the bride's family, have to pay for the wedding. So Vallabhacharya, he then said that, yes, you know, so wonderful, but I have one request that I am embarrassed to disclose. I am poor, and have no means to offer a dowry. I can offer only 5 haritaki fruits along with my daughter. Haritaki is, you know, not a... I mean, the haritaki fruit is very good for the health. Therefore, haritaki trees are, you know, they're appreciated a lot. But they're not that special. So 5 haritaki fruits as a dowry is not very much. So please beg their consent. So like this, Vanamali returned to Mother Sachi's house and informed her, the formalities have been completed. Now you may choose an auspicious time for the ceremony. So then, when Mother Sachi and all her relatives and all the extended family members, they heard about all of this, then they joyfully began making arrangements. And on an auspicious day, they performed the Adivas ceremony, preparatory ceremony. The people were dancing and singing, musicians were playing instruments. All around, Brahmins recited Vedic hymns. As Nimai, the jewel of the twice born, appeared like the moon in their midst, Gaura Chandra, the golden moon. So then they offered sandalwood pulp and flower garlands to the Lord. In this way they performed, they completed the Adivas ceremony. The relatives gave the Brahmins sandalwood pulp, betel nuts, flower garlands, and so on. And according to the tradition, Vallabh Acharya himself, the father of the bride-to-be, he also came and took part in that Adivas ceremony. So, the next morning, the next morning, you know what happened, devotees, the next morning, after Nimai woke the next morning, you know what happened? Tune in on Monday night and find out. But wow, it's just, it's building up. It's powerful. It's very exciting. And it's very beautiful, such a beautiful description. Transcendental description. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.